Faithful sayings come from a faithful God. He is faithful to us. We can trust Him completely. And I'm going to take a little different view of this, and because I know that we try to outthink a whole lot of things in this world. We really do. Even our religion, we try to overthink it and outthink it. Sometimes that's just not necessary. I do believe that sometimes people believe that they're going to give up some of their intellect if they believe in a God in heaven. That surely this world has almost won in some cases about making people who believe in God thinking that they must be out of their minds. Not so. Not so. I'm going to read the eternal Word of God. It was true yesterday, it's true today, and it will be true next week, next month, next year, next decade. If the Lord tarries, doesn't come back to take us home, it'll be true a million years from now. It doesn't make any difference. It's His eternal Word. So let's read it together, okay? And it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 11 through 15. If you would like to, I'll give you a little light, better light, so that you can see that a little better. Let's look at it together, okay? According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, this is Paul telling us how he feels about the Word of God. And it is quite all right for a person who has believed in Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls to tell other people how they feel about the Word of God, what it did for them, and what it can do for others. So Paul's doing that now. He says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and it's committed to all of our trust, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And I know that a lot of people think this is just for pastors and preachers and evangelists and stuff. It's not. It includes them. But every one of us should be found faithful in God's eyes to where He could put His Word in us to tell others, that He would trust us to tell others exactly what it says in the Word of God. And that's why He trusts us, is that He knows if we're going to tell it exactly the way it is in the Word, or are we going to make up a tale or something. He wants to know we're going to tell it exactly like it is. So he says, I'm so glad he put me into the ministry and gave me this gospel to be trusted to. Who was before, now this is what Paul was before, who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, just like us. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. That's where he was. He was ignorant in unbelief. An unbeliever is ignorant. An unbeliever doesn't know anything about what's happening in the Word of God. That doesn't mean they're not an intellectual person. It doesn't mean that they don't have a lot of learning. It just means that they're ignorant about the Word of God and what God has done. But he says, I was ignorant in unbelief, and that's the key. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And here is the verse of Scripture that we're basing this message on today. And here's what it says. This is what you hold in your hand, or what you see on this board behind me. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now I'll bring you the message. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us today, and we thank you for what you're going to do for us. And Lord, we praise you. We praise you for the goodness and the mercy and the kindness and everything, Lord, that you give your children. If there's a person in this congregation today that is struggling with questions about their relationship with you, Lord, I pray that today they will accept the truth, the eternal truth of your word as the key to what they were and what they can be just by believing in this awesome gospel. And we'll praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Contrary to how we feel about Paul, and a lot of us would like to be a Paul. In fact, I just preached on Paul last week. But here's another message on Paul. Paul wasn't always a believer. In fact, he was a very radical, cruel unbeliever. Now, there are unbelievers who are not mean, evil people. They are just unbelievers. But Paul was an unbeliever, and he was mean. He had a mean spirit about him. But the good thing I like about that is the same thing he was as an unbeliever in his passion toward being an unbeliever. He believed that he was the best unbeliever in the world. And he was going to be. And if it took taking out believers for him to be a good unbeliever, that's exactly what he was going to do. Until one day, God stopped him on the Damascus Road, as we preached last week, and he became a believer. Now, as much as he was a radical unbeliever, he now is, if we could say, a radical believer. Because now, as a believer, he was convinced. I do believe that people who really have committed their life to Jesus Christ will be a convinced people, that other people need to hear exactly what they heard when it changed their life. So if you believe that Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross and he shed his blood so that you could repent of your sin and be saved, and when you did that and you remember what happened to you, you felt like the weight of the world just went off your shoulders, you will believe that that belongs to other people also. You'll be convinced that that same gospel, that same life-giving gospel, belongs to everybody. And that's where Paul was. The gospel touches the heart. And I don't ever mean to be just a pastor who touches your minds at all. I may give you something to think about, and I hope that touches our minds if it's something to think about. But I still am giving you the gospel that's going to touch your heart. But I want you to know the truth about the gospel. And I don't jump high anymore. I'm afraid to jump, afraid I'll come down the wrong way. My voice doesn't go maybe as high as it used to. I may not be as loud as I used to be. But that's okay. I'm giving you the truth of the Word of God just as though I were loud and were jumping. I know some people have said, boy, I heard a good message last week or somewhere. They'll say, man, he was just really getting with it, you know. And I said, well, what did he preach on? And it goes quiet about right there because couldn't remember what he preached on, but boy, he was into it. And that's okay if I get into it. You all take advantage of that and say, man, he's got a little energy left in him. You know, but that's not where I'm going with this. I'm giving you the word directly from God's word right here, okay? And that's where Paul was doing. So it will touch your heart. That's what it's supposed to do. But it's also, and I guess this is where I'm going with this message today, it is also a very sane, logical message. It will touch your heart. And sometimes when we talk about touching the heart, we get into the emotions part of it. And that's okay. I'm emotional about my salvation. I am so happy that he saw fit to save me. And I'm emotional about that. But I also know that the Word of God is very sane and logical. And I do need to use my intellect. Nobody has to commit intellectual suicide to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I know that's what this world is trying to make people believe. That if you believe that stuff, you're committing intellectual suicide. Well, I'm going to go to heaven being an intellectual suicide person. If that's what it is, that's where I'm going. The Bible says that the gospel is sound doctrine. And the reason it says that it is sound doctrine is because the word sound actually means in good health. We've used that word a lot about our health. You know, he's sound as a what? Good health. I want to be in good health spiritually, don't you? I want to be in good health physically, but more than that, I want to be in good health spiritually. So I'm going to believe this sound doctrine, and I'm going to give it to other people so they too can be healthy. It was committed to Paul because he trusted God that the doctrine that he was preaching and teaching would do the same for other people as it did him. So he was counted faithful because he was willing to take this faithful saying, this faithful gospel of Christ, to other people. And that was by mercy also. If you have any good thing coming from you as far as your salvation is concerned, you have it because of his mercy. Not because you deserve it for anything you've done. It's by his mercy that we have that. Now I'm going to break it down a little bit. This one verse of all that scripture I read to you, I'm going to break it down, and here's what we're going to say. We're going to say that according to what we just read, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is credible. And that's one of those words that might touch your intellect. And I hope it does. Because I don't want you to ever just be a person who is a Christian out of emotion. Because emotion didn't get you there, and emotion won't carry you on. So, the gospel is very credible. It means, by it being credible, it means it is deserving of trust. It is deserving of trust. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that the word you hold in your hand or the word you saw on the board here, do you believe that that is deserving of trust? Well, here's what he says about it. And this is not just Paul's saying. This is what he knows for a fact. This is a faithful saying. This is a trustworthy saying that the gospel is based on fact and not on religious assumption. I could assume a lot of things. In fact, that's what we normally do as human beings. We assume. And we know that assuming things has gotten us in trouble at times. You agree? Well, I don't want the fact that I would assume that my religion is based on something else. I want to make sure that what my salvation is based on is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that what he said, that's what I believed. And not because my dad and mom were Christians and my grandfather and grandmother were and Billy Graham was, and I really liked Billy Graham, or Charles Stanley, and I liked Charles Stanley, Jeremiah. I love all these people, and I love the ministries that they have. But folks, what I feel about them is not going to help me in my relationship with God at all. It's not going to. So the gospel is based on the fact and not on religious assumption of what we think could happen. Now, here is a little story I ran across, and I've got to share this with you because I think in this message it fits very well. The dean of Harvard Law School, and everybody's heard of Harvard Law School because that's the one that everybody touts when in politics anyway. When they went to Harvard, they make sure that everybody knows they went to Harvard Law School and that they graduated with honors, and so they should be able to lead our country in a lot of different ways. And we found out that's not necessarily so. But anyway, this was a dean of the Harvard Law School, and he was an authority on the law of evidence. That's what his main thing was, the law of evidence. So he took it upon himself to do something that no man had ever done, and he took Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he took them to court. He took them to court. And he did this, and after he did this, of cross-examining Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John by what was said in the Word of God, by cross-examining them, he concluded after all this, of all four of them, that what they recorded was the simple, clear truth about the life of Jesus. That's what he concluded. And this was that he took all the evidence that's in those books and he took it to court, knowing that he was an expert in that, and he did that, and he come to that conclusion that it was the truth about Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that you take that as your foundation for belief. You'll take it that it is God's Word, and that's why you believe it. But I'm just letting you know that this is not all about emotion at all. It's not all about what you think might be or what your parents or grandparents did. It's about what the Word of God says. As Paul affirmed, the gospel message is completely reliable. Completely reliable. You can rely on the Word of God for every part of your life. I don't care what you're going through and you don't have an answer for it. There is an answer for it in the Word of God. And if you'll just seek it out, you'll find it. I promise you'll do that. Now, here's what, in that same verse of Scripture, not only is the gospel credible in what we have right in front of us, it is also what the gospel claims, and is it true? Well, if it's credible, it's got to be true. So I want to take that just a little further. He said, it is worthy of all acceptation. Now, Paul wouldn't have said that if it hadn't been good for his family members to believe. He wouldn't have said that had it not been good for you to believe. Because, you see, he was in total control by the Holy Spirit of God in what he was writing. And he knew that one day down the road there would be people sitting at 1011 East Holston Avenue in church, in Liberty Fellowship Church, and they would be listening to the Word, and that they would have to make a decision. Is the Word of God true? Is it good for my life today and tomorrow? And is it good for my eternal life in heaven? And the answer is yes. Absolutely. Because that's why he said it is worthy of all acceptation. You can accept it as the truth because it is exactly that. The events recorded in these Gospels actually really happened. It's not just a story. If it were just a story, I would have dropped the story a long time ago, wouldn't you? Because, you know, I've seen movies that some people ask me, well, how'd that go? Oh, I saw it 10 years ago. I can't remember what happened in that movie. Or I read a book, you know. And, well, how was the book? And what? I can't remember everything went on in that book. You know, my memory don't go back that far. So what happened in the Word of God? Well, we know the stories. And we haven't forgot the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Now, the world is fighting the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. That can't be so. It can't be so that a virgin has a baby. It's not logical. Oh, yes, it is, because it came from God. Now, if you're not willing to accept that fact that there was a virgin birth, then you can't be saved. Because it is the truth of the Word of God, and we're saved with that. But when this man took Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he put them in court and took the evidence that they said, he found out in all of his evidence that there was a baby born in Bethlehem, and his name was Jesus. I like that. That's what the Word of God says. And that there were choirs of angels that came down and praised God at the birth. It was a fact. It happened. You see, there's a lot of Jewish history that we never get into in the Bible, but we just take the Bible as a fact. It's God's Word. God gave it to us, and this is what we believe. He was and is the Son of God. It's a fact. Yeah, it's not a fiction. It's a fact. He went about doing good. If you went back in the Jewish history, you'd find that Jesus was here on this earth and that he did good. He performed many wonderful miracles, and we know that because we read about him. He was crucified on a cross. Amen? You got to believe he was crucified, and he was crucified. Now, they wouldn't go into why he was crucified. We know why he was crucified. Paul knew why he was crucified. He was crucified so that one day when Paul was going down the Damascus Road, he could strike him down with light and show him where he was and where he could be. He knew Paul, and he knew what Paul was going to do. But he was crucified, he was buried, he resurrected, and he ascended to heaven. You say, wow, what a story. It's not just a story. It is a faithful saying. And it's worthy of all acceptation. Every one of us must come to the place, if we're going to leave this world and go to heaven, we've got to come to the place to where we accept the fact that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. He lived, he died, he was buried, he resurrected, he ascended to heaven, and he's sitting there at the right hand of God. He knows you, he knows where you are, and he's interceding with his heavenly Father about you. It's a truth. It's a faithful saying, and it's true and powerful. In fact, Peter put it this way. There are other scriptures, and I'll give them to you, but here's one. Peter put it this way. He said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." That's how he put it. We're not following cunningly devised fables. It is the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, he put it this way. "For bodily exercise," and I like this because I've used this verse of scripture many times, when I get into it, you'll see why. "For bodily exercise profiteth little." We all believe that, right? That's why we don't do it. "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." Now, by the way, he didn't say exercise didn't have any profit. It does. But it profits little in comparison to what our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is, how that is to us. So he says, "But godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." You like that? Now and forever. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." There he said it again. It's a worthy statement, and it should be accepted as the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because it's true. It is a faithful saying. Now, this has an eternal content about it, and here's why it has an eternal content. When he goes on to give us that verse of Scripture, he goes on to finish it like this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, if you stopped it right there, that would include all of us, right? And the fact is that what he went on to say also includes all of us, but it includes the attitude by which we ought to see it. That if we believe he died for sinners and that would be me, then we have to accept it with an attitude like Paul did. Because Paul went on to say, "Of whom I am chief." If we're talking about sinners here, we're talking about I'm the biggest one of all. And that's the way we need to accept it. When we stand before God and his gospel touches our hearts and we know that it's a fact, that it's the truth of God and it touches our hearts, we ought to stand before him and say, I'm the biggest one of all, God. I'm the biggest sinner of all here, and I know I need to be saved. I know I need a change in my life. I know you created heaven for believers and hell for unbelievers. I know that. And I want to be a believer. So the eternal content here is with great power because it changes the lives of people. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now the record of his coming was this. You see, a lot other people are born into this world. I was born into this world. Jesus Christ wasn't born into this world. He came to this world. Is there a difference? Now, I know your mind right now is going back to Bethlehem. He was a babe born in Bethlehem. His father wasn't on this earth. Woo! His father wasn't on this earth. He wasn't born into this. He came to this earth. He came here because he came here for you and I. That's what the Word of God says. He chose the time he would come long before it ever happened, long before, not 9 months before, not a couple years before. This is an eternal statement made here. He chose the time in eternity that he would come to this earth. He chose the place. Just because we had the prophecies saying that it would happen and where it would happen, that doesn't mean that was the first time it was ever heard of. God chose this time and place long before it ever happened, long before that gospel. He even chose the circumstances in which it would happen. There's a song that I hadn't heard it in years, but I think the Goodman sang it, and I may have given you a little bit of it at times. But it'll happen just like he said. He cleansed the leper and he raised the dead. Y'all remember that song? It'll happen just like he said. And I believe that. I believe that everything happens just the way God says it's going to happen. That's why I believe the Word of God. Because it is exactly what he said would happen. And the reason he came, he didn't just show up. The reason he came was so that you and I could be saved. He came for us as sinners. He came because we were lost. He came because we were enslaved to sin. And we needed a way out of that. And he was the only way. We were unable to save ourselves. And being in this predicament, he came so that we could get out of it. He was our way out of it, folks. Not just for a moment. He wasn't a band-aid fix. He is an eternal fix. Eternal. Born again, child of God, ready for eternity. And my attitude, and your attitude, ought to be, since we know he came for us, is that, Lord, I'm so glad you did, because I'm the biggest sinner of all. And I am so ashamed, so sorry for the sin that hurt your heart. And I want you to forgive me of my sin of unbelief in your Son, Jesus Christ, because you gave him so that I could live. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Let us pray. This gospel is trustworthy. It's steadfast. It's firm for all eternity. And if you've never made that decision that Jesus Christ will be your Savior, you couldn't find a better day than today. And you know, all it takes is a person wanting that life so bad that they're willing to step out of that seat, walk forward, and say, I want to give Jesus Christ my life today. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the Word. We thank you for the message.